The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
On his way to the end zone.
I'll tell you what, that was a spectacular play.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
What a play! Off to the races! Touchdown! Oh, he's done it again!
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben.
Monday morning, time for some rankings disputes. And we're going to stray, I think, away from the hot names of free agency and the trades and all that and talk about some players that we have not discussed in a while. Are you high or are you low on DeAndre Hopkins? How about Marquise Brown? How about Cordarrelle Patterson? He's in the news. He's back with the Atlanta Falcons. We will talk about it right now on Fantasy Football Today. I'm Adam Azer with Dave Richard and Heath Cummings, and Heath is going to kick it off with an Azer stat, which I think he likes more than I do these days. What do you got for us, Heath?
Yes, if you take out week 14, because obviously Lamar Jackson only played 10 snaps, so why would we count that
game? We shouldn't.
In Marquise Brown's last 17 games with Lamar Jackson, he has produced 91 catches, 1,163 yards, 12 touchdowns on 140 targets. Super duper star. He was wide receiver 11 per game on the year when Jackson got hurt.
When did Jackson get hurt?
Week 14. After week 13, Marquise Brown was wide receiver 11 on the year.
You know, where was he after week 10? Because that's when he got hurt. And when he came back after that, he wasn't nearly as effective in two games with Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I'm looking at the game log now. His struggles started in that week 10 game where he had six catches for 37 yards on 13 targets. Basically, week 10, 12, and 13. He missed week 11. 10, 12, 13, he had about 140 yards on 30 targets. He really struggled. And then Jackson got hurt, and the struggles were even worse.
Despite getting good target volume.
Yes. But wasn't going downfield, as I recall. ADOT is kind of a thing for him.
Yes.
But
we learned that last year.
Oh, didn't we learn it in different ways? It went down in 2020 and he started playing better, and then it went down in 2021 and he started playing worse. So I don't know what to make of that, Dave.
I don't think we should say he started playing worse last year. He was like Lamar Jackson got hurt.
Yeah, but still, I mean, you're looking at 45 yards on, he was terrible. 8 targets, 28 yards. 8 targets, 27 yards. 14 targets, 43 yards. 9 targets, 44 yards, regardless of who was there. And like I said, the last three games that he played with Lamar Jackson, I don't have the numbers right in front of me. It's about 140 yards on 30 targets. Mm-hmm. No touchdowns. Yep. Very bad production in his last 8 games, 3 of those with Lamar Jackson.
His ADOT through week 10 was 13.4, so sky high. That is a huge number, and he was doing really well with it. Do I have the fantasy points per game? I mean, we just talked about it. It was a huge thing.
He was wide receiver 6 through week 10.
Yeah. So he's flying high. He's playing downfield. He's getting a ton of targets. He's a number one fantasy receiver. And then he gets hurt in week 10. And after that, his ADOT shriveled from weeks 12 and 13. Remember, that's still with Lamar Jackson. His ADOT was under 8, 7.9. That's not great. And his fantasy production was brutal after that.
Yeah. He's interesting because he's given us, half seasons of being great.
Can I give you the stat that really means something to me?
Yeah.
And this is going to cover a lot of the Ravens. This isn't just about Marquise Brown. Last year, they threw the 10th most of any team in the National Football League. 63.1% pass. That is crazy high for them, considering that they were dead last in pass rate in 2020 and 2019, under 50% each of those years. And that just tells me that this is a team, now that they're going to get their running backs healthy, Lamar Jackson's going to come back, they're not, I don't think they're going to try and become what other teams in the NFL are becoming. I think they want to stick to what's been tried and true for the Ravens for the last decade plus, which is running the football, playing tough defense, taking advantage of Lamar Jackson's rushing skills, and not forcing Lamar to throw downfield by choice. They'll be balanced, I guess, until they have to throw downfield. And that makes me worry about that target volume staying high for Marquise Brown. And I also wonder, and I talked about this during last season, I wonder if the coaching staff has kind of had it with Marquise Brown constantly getting banged up. And maybe there's going to be something to that where maybe they lower just how much that Lamar Jackson throws to him. And they try and bring out more in what Mark Andrews has been able to do. And Andrews has always had that connection with Lamar Jackson. And Rashad Bateman is going to take a step in his second year, at least theoretically. And the draft hasn't happened yet. Are they going to add another wide receiver? So I'm a little nervous about Marquise Brown jumping back into that, forget about top 12, top 20 type of fray at wide receiver.
Yeah, Heath has him 23rd, Dave has him 33rd. That was in full PPR. That was one of our rankings disputes, which we more or less covered. Heath, anything else? It just seems like you're buying into Marquise Brown plus Lamar Jackson equals good.
Well, and it's not just that. Like, if you just factor in those that terrible second half of the season, he finished the year at wide receiver 21 per game last year. I don't think they will throw as much as they did after Lamar got hurt. But they talked all off season last year about how they wanted to throw the ball more, that they wanted to be more aggressive offensively. So I don't think we should also expect them to go back to what they were before last year in terms of run pass split. I think they'll throw more than they did before 2021, and they will run more than they did last year because they'll have good running backs. But I don't really, like, I didn't see anything that suggests that Rashad Bateman is a legitimate threat to Marquise Brown.
And they were in first place when Lamar Jackson got hurt. So I don't think you can make the argument, hey, they missed the playoffs, they have to get back to the run. They probably can be successful, you know, with a more balanced offense.
It would be so interesting to see how this whole universe looks if Lamar Jackson didn't get hurt last year. Like, do the Bengals even go to the Super Bowl?
Do they even go to the playoffs?
The Steelers wouldn't have made the playoffs. Ravens would have finished ahead of them.
The Bengals probably would have been playing like opening week on the road, I assume.
Instead of at home. Maybe.
Where do Jackson, Brown, and Andrews all finish if Jackson finishes out the year? It's really a great fantasy what if right now.
Yeah. It really would be. Okay, so that was our first rankings debate. Let's give a big hooray and a congratulations, well, a premature congratulations to Daniel Grindstaff, who is in first place in our bracket challenge. But Schracker probably should have told me this before he gave me that note. He's not going to win. He has Kentucky as his national champion. And Kentucky
lost. You're just taunting him.
Yeah, sorry. So Glenn, looks like Glenn Albano.
You, Captain Glenn Albano?
Yeah, sure. You have Houston. Are they still in it?
They are still in it. Thanks for watching.
I forgot. Did they beat Illinois?
They beat Illinois by 15.
Right. Okay. So he has the best chance of winning right now.
Can you name any other teams that are in the Sweet 16, Adam?
We are one game. We are two outcomes away from Miami and Kansas playing in the Elite Eight. All right. They're in the Sweet 16, both playing on Friday. We could have a very confrontational Sunday here amongst the podcasters on this show today. Oh, very excited. Oh, my gosh. We beat the piss out of Auburn. It was awesome.
I'm happy for you.
We can't turn this into a college basketball podcast or even worse, a Miami Hurricanes podcast. But it's really the first game in a long while where they played a complete game buzzer to buzzer.
Yeah. Every game they play is like a 1-3 point game. Every game.
It's true.
And then they play Auburn and
they've had games this year where they're down 20 at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
And it ends up being like a 1 point game.
Oh, and you know what? We can't turn this into a college basketball podcast, but we do have one of those in the CBS Sports Network. We got 16 teams left. So if you want the latest previews, picks, and bracket breakdowns, listen to Gary Parrish and Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast. Gary and Matt will also be recording after each night of the tournament action, recapping games instantly. For the best March Madness analysis, listen and follow the Ion College Basketball Podcast anywhere you're listening to this one. And they're great. I mean, they really do. This is an amazing podcast and one of our oldest. So check it out. And I listen to it every year around this time. Helps me fill out my brackets for sure. Where are you guys in the... So full disclosure, I did not use their advice for the bracket challenge, and I'm in the 950th place or something. But in my family league, I am in second place, and I'm kind of crushing it. So, and that was all thanks to them. Where are you guys in our bracket challenge?
I am currently in 95th. Bit of a struggle for me this year.
Yeah, but you're 95th? Usually the best of the bunch of us.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's really good. 95th.
Yeah, not doing quite as well as most years.
I'm in 1,039th.
And I'm about 950th. I don't remember. I'm actually in first place in my family league. And the greatest thing is happening. My wife is also tied for first place. And she is so into this tournament. She is watching.
Does she
nonstop.
Call it a tournament?
I can't say the word. No, she says it right. She is watching nonstop. She was cursing at the TV last night. It has been, I've just never been more in love.
It's amazing. The same thing is happening at my house with my wife, who's never been crazy into basketball. And she's just, I think it's because there are so many upsets and no one's really any good in college basketball. And so I think casuals definitely like the fact that there are so many upsets and, you know, the underdog story is always an appreciated story, no matter what.
It's been a great tournament so far. I'm looking forward to the conclusion.
It's the only word you could say that makes you sound tough.
Thank you. Thank you, Dave. All right, here are your news and notes. Yeah. The Rams gave Matthew Stafford a big contract extension, $135 million guaranteed, up to $160 million over 4 years. And he does not have Robert Woods on his team anymore. Robert Woods is on the Tennessee Titans. They got him for a 2023 sixth-round pick. They also added Austin Hooper. Let's talk about Robert Woods here. Robert Woods or Allen Robinson?
Robinson.
Robinson for me.
Okay. Robert Woods. Oh, boy. Where is he a top 40 wide receiver?
No.
40. I think I had him 48th or 49th. Oh. He's in the Chase Claypool, Rashad Bateman range.
I'm 57th.
Wow.
Coming off a knee injury, going to a team that is definitely going to be run heavy as the number two receiver. And the coaches love him for his blocking, the other technique that he brings to the field. I think his ceiling is what Corey Davis gave you a few years back. And I don't even know if he can get that much. So I'm going to let you draft him.
Let's talk about this knee injury thing, because I feel like I don't really care that much about torn ACLs. I do for Beckham. It's happened mid-February. But maybe it does age matter, because Woods is 30. You know, how much are we penalizing Godwin, for example? Are you factoring in Godwin as much as you're factoring in the ACL for Robert Woods? Is it selective?
I think it's more than just the ACL. It's where they're playing.
Well, yeah, sure. But I'm just specifically asking about torn ACLs. We do have a number of relevant fantasy receivers coming back from a torn ACL.
Sure.
Right. Gallup had an ACL or an Achilles?
ACL.
Yeah, right. So Gallup, Godwin, Woods, Beckham, and we have to decide what it means for us. So what does it mean?
Age matters to me. I think it's harder the older you get. I mean, we all know that. When things hurt, they hurt longer and we don't recover quite as well. But also, for the most part, I'm with you, Adam. I just don't, I didn't penalize Woods that much.
Okay.
How do you say we're old without saying we're old? I think it's got to be on a case-by-case basis, guys. We just don't know yet. We can be optimistic because the ACL injury isn't as bad as it was 15 years ago. But
are you factoring it into any player's ranking currently?
Yes, Beckham, because it happened so late in the year. And
but
maybe
Woods
it's bad.
It doesn't have anything to do with his ACL.
What happened?
Woods?
No, it's part of the reason for me shipping Woods to the bottom of my rankings. It's more about being the number two receiver in Tennessee.
I'm trying to think who tore an ACL in 2020, and the only one I can think of is Cortland Sutton. Seemed to have somewhat of a slow recovery, as we recall, right?
I don't remember a slow recovery. I remember him playing well when Judy was out, and then when Judy came back, his numbers evaporated.
That is true, but I do remember... Oh, well, Joe Burrow tore his ACL, and
it's different for quarterbacks. It's always been different for quarterbacks.
Okay, but he did, like I said, they kind of protected him for more than half the season. Okay. All right, let's move on. So what about Ryan Tannehill and A.J. Brown, by the way? Any impact on their rankings?
Nope. I moved Tannehill up over Tagovailoa. That's it.
Austin Hooper to the Titans, as mentioned. Robert Tonyan.
How are you going to say his last name like that?
Hooper to there the Titans. Go. And then Robert Tonyan back to the Packers. Knee injury. And Gerald Everett to the Chargers. 2 years, $12 million.
Mm.
Who's your favorite there? Hooper, Tonyan, or Everett on the Chargers?
I'm going to take Hayden Hurst of the Cincinnati Bengals.
Tight ends. Yeah, tight ends.
That's who I'm going with. But they're all stream worthy. Who do they play in the first couple of weeks of the season? Who are you comfortable with if you completely whiff on tight end? And if we're including other tight ends that have changed teams or have had, not necessarily changed teams, but have had situations change, Albert Okwuegbunam would be ahead of all of them.
Yeah, I don't think any of these three will be in my top 20 tight ends.
That would be
barely in mine.
Hooper, Tonyan, and Everett. All right, two running back notes. Rashad Penny to the Seahawks. Back to the Seahawks 1 year, $5.75 million. And Cordarrelle Patterson back to the Falcons. 2 years, $10.5 million. I don't know if I'm going to get to this note in when we talk about Cordarrelle Patterson. And I got to look up the exact numbers. But I want to tell you how many plays the Atlanta Falcons ran in the last three games of the season when Patterson was so bad. I couldn't believe this. They ran in the last four games of the season, 58, which is low, and then 45, 50, and 48 plays. In their last three games, they ran 50 or fewer plays and had the ball for fewer than 24 minutes in all three of those games. I don't know that that's necessarily relevant to today's discussion, but Patterson was really bad, but they barely had the ball in those games. Anyway, Penny back to the Seahawks, Patterson back to the Falcons. Who are you drafting first?
I will draft Rashad Penny first.
I will definitely draft Penny first if Chris Carson's unable to make a recovery. But if Chris Carson's there at start of training camp, I'll probably go Patterson.
Okay, we're going to get more into him a little bit later. We got some offensive line news. Is the Bengals signed Lyle Collins? They've now got, that's a former right tackle for the Cowboys. 3 years, $30 million. That's three upgrades on the offensive line for the Bengals. So we love it. Patriots were able to re-sign right tackle Trent Brown, and that's pretty much all I got on the offensive line. Yeah. The Falcons still taking trade calls for Matt Ryan, according to Ian Rappaport.
Mm.
The Panthers brought back cornerback Dante Jackson. The Eagles signed Boston Scott, so they did end up bringing him and Fletcher Cox back. Fletcher Cox starting defensive tackle. Boston Scott gets a one-year deal for $1.75 million. Does it matter?
Yeah, when they play the Giants, it'll matter. he puts up numbers against the Giants. Everybody else, no.
It's so frustrating because doing projections and just like looking at what these guys have done, I think initially I actually had Boston Scott projected for more touchdowns than Miles Sanders because he's scored more touchdowns than Miles Sanders. Yeah. I think two of the past three seasons.
Strange.
I don't know. This is probably the best outcome for Miles Sanders. I'm still not sure how excited I'm going to be to draft him as a number two running back. But
well, yeah. What was
round
the
five? Would you take him in round five?
No.
I wouldn't feel good about round five. Round six, I'd be okay.
For Sanders.
Yeah.
Remember, the offense, though, was kind of a two-back offense. And for the last 10 games of the year, and they were averaging about 30 running back carries. I just remember this from doing previews late in the year. But you could have a situation where Boston Scott's getting 8 to 10 carries, something like that, if they go back to what they were doing.
I would expect we see more from Gainwell this year, but
same.
We'll see.
Yeah, give him a chance. All right, that's about it. I guess the only other interesting note was Jakob Johnson, the new fullback for the Raiders, was on the Patriots last year. Now he's one of the paths going over to the Raiders. He said that the Patriots no longer have his position on the roster. So perhaps they will open it up a little bit more.
They have someone visiting today.
Fournette.
Leonard Fournette.
Okay.
I think Bill Belichick's always been a big Fournette guy, right? I think I'd read that in the past, but why would they have him there?
Just yeah, hanging out.
That sounds messy.
Wouldn't be good for fantasy.
No.
Well, we've got a new podcast that we are welcoming to the CBS Sports family. In Soccer We Trust covers the beautiful game, or soccer as we like to call it, from a U.S. perspective. Join our hosts and former USMNT teammates, Jimmy Conrad, Charlie Davies, and Heath Pierce, as they bring you a mix of expertise and passion on all things soccer in the United States. Download and follow In Soccer We Trust on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you listen to this podcast.
How about two Heaths on the CBS family of podcasts now?
I don't really know what to do because I don't think.
I don't know how many Adams we
have. I think we
have
one Adam. We have two Daves.
Yep.
We got Samson and Richard.
Well, he's a David.
Yeah.
Sometimes you are too.
Only when my parents call me or when my wife is mad at me.
Really?
Sometimes Jamie calls me David.
What does Nando call you? All right. Anyway, rankings disputes. Here we go. Dave has Jalen Hurts. Back to the Eagles here. Jalen Hurts, you have him 14th, Dave. Heath has him 8th. Dave, first word. Jalen Hurts, 14th for you, 8th for Heath.
When the Eagles went run heavy in the second half of the year, literally an 8-game spread, he had 6 passing touchdowns, 5 rushing touchdowns. That's good. 18.1 fantasy points per game. I like a lot of quarterbacks better. Hurts for me is in that group of quarterbacks that I'm willing to wait for on draft day. And that group is expanded to maybe 5 names with Rodgers in there. Now that he doesn't have Devonta Adams, Derek Carr is now in there. Now that he does have Devonta Adams, I think Burrow makes that list. Stafford is in that group. And so I'm looking to draft other positions early on. And then by the time I get to maybe round 8, I'm going to start looking for a quarterback. This is in 1 quarterback leagues, obviously. It completely changes in 2 quarterbacks. But I think he'll be good. I just don't know if he's got game breaker ceiling like we saw in the first half of 2021 when the Eagles were losing games but throwing more.
No, I think the fact that he's shown you game breaker ceiling, as Dave just alluded to, insinuates that he has it. He was QB11 last year. I think like the easiest for the on a per game basis. And yes, there was a split in when he threw a bunch and when he didn't throw. And there's also that weird Lions game in the middle where he played 3/4 of the game because they beat him 44-6. But I dropped Rodgers below him because no Adams. I've dropped Dak below him because no Cooper. And we've talked about what I expect in terms of regression from Burrow. Now there's a couple more guys that are right in that same range. I just think Hurts has thrown 580 passes in the NFL, 7.2, 7.3 yards per attempt. There's still some upside for him to improve as a passer. There's some upside in terms of passing touchdowns, and he's going to give you that floor as a rusher of 800 yards and 8 touchdowns.
I think we are probably split on this because of, well, correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, maybe Dave is expecting more of a run-heavy approach than Heath is.
Yeah, I think the Eagles proved it. That how did they make the playoffs last year? By running the football a lot. And Hurts does that too. Look, the reason why Miles Sanders didn't score any touchdowns last year was in part because Jalen Hurts was stealing them at the goal line. He's like the new age Cam Newton. One of these years he's going to have a blow up year and be the league MVP, assuming he continues to start for Philadelphia. But if he's going to cost them games, I mean, weren't the Eagles kind of involved in trying to get Russell Wilson and kind of involved trying to get Deshaun Watson? Are they completely sold on Jalen Hurts? I think they have to be at this point because there's nobody else that they can acquire to take him off the field. But I am a little concerned that if he gets off to a rough start, do they turn to Minshew, who's technically still on the team, or whoever the backup quarterback is? And if he's not playing, he's not getting you fantasy points. And again, didn't even average 20 fantasy points per game when they were doing well running the football and not putting so much on Jalen Hurts' plate as a passer. Yeah. Makes me a little bit nervous.
Yeah, I any team that is that extreme in terms of their run-pass split, in my projections, always gets regressed back a little bit towards the mean, towards the average. And so I do have him with, I think I've got him at 30 attempts per game. He was at 28 for the year last year. But I don't think it's going to be a drastic change. I just think the odds are he's going to be better than 3.7% touchdown rate, and he's probably going to improve a little bit as a passer.
Hope Do we know so. How many attempts per game he had in his last eight? If you don't have it in front of you, I'll look it up.
Yes, 23.8 pass attempts per game. If you remove the first two games from that stretch where he threw 14 times and 17 times, it was 26.5 pass attempts per game in the last six games. But in
those one of those was the Detroit game I was talking about.
No, that was I removed that.
No, Detroit was the when this whole run.
Yeah.
Right. I was saying one of the games you're removing was the Detroit game.
I removed that one. There was 14 pass attempts, and then he had 17 pass attempts the following week. Now, you may have heard, if you were listening carefully, I said, when we're talking about Boston Scott, Philadelphia's run-heavy approach, I said 10 games. Dave said 8. They're both right, because it was 8. It was 10 games total, but it was 8 Jalen Hurts games. Two of those games were started by Gardner Minshew. So just wanted to clarify that. And I'll give you the numbers. First seven games of the year, he averaged 34.6 pass attempts per game. That was nuts. He was the number two quarterback. Well, I'll give you per game. He was number three in 4-point, number six in 6-point in the first seven games of the year before they changed their offense. After that, he was 10th. He was actually 10th per game in 4-point and 9th in 6-point. He wasn't that bad. And then the last thing in Hurts' favor, I'd say, he got this high ankle sprain against the Giants, and then he missed the game, and then the running totals went way down. His last three games of the year, he rushed for 38 yards, 7 yards, and 44 yards. And before that, you were talking about routinely around 60 yards rushing in the, you know, when they changed their offense. Then he had the high ankle sprain, and then the rushing numbers plummeted. So there's really a lot to consider here. And I think it's an interesting range, because you have him 8th, Heath 14th, and Jamie has him 11th, and right in the middle. So, all right, those are just some numbers to crunch on there for Jalen Hurts. Let's go to our next guy, Nick Chubb. Heath, you can have the first word on Chubb. You have him 18th, and this is in full PPR, and Dave has him 9th. And I know the rushing, the receiving totals are always a concern, but would you like to know, Heath, in full PPR, if you just want to look at the last two seasons, or you can look at the last three, he only played half of 2019 with Kareem Hunt. He's actually been top 12 per game all three seasons in full PPR. You have him 18th.
This is it's a math problem for me. They had 485 rush attempts last year. I don't think they traded for Deshaun Watson to run the ball as often as they pass it. So I've cut him down about two rush attempts per game. I also have Watson with three more rush attempts per game than the Browns quarterbacks had last year, and Kareem Hunt missed half of last year. So you're talking about a running back who doesn't do much in the passing game. He's always thrived because he's wildly efficient and he gets 16, 17 carries per game. Now, we've seen stretches. I believe the second half, 3 years ago, when he was playing with Hunt, he didn't score hardly any touchdowns. And I don't think he was quite that good.
I can tell you what he was.
We saw a stretch last year where he wasn't really scoring touchdowns. Kareem Hunt was getting the carries inside the 5-yard line. If he has another great touchdown year like he did in 2020, then I think he could still be a top 12 running back. But I do think that he's got a little bit of a volume crunch. If the Browns go a little bit more pass heavy, Watson takes some of the rush attempts and Kareem Hunt's there for a full year.
Yeah, I'll tell you what he was real quick in that stretch you alluded to. The last eight games of 2019, that was when Kareem Hunt returned from suspension. He only scored two touchdowns. He did have the second most carries in the NFL in that stretch behind Mixon, but he was 12th. I don't have per game, but he was 12th in non-PPR, and he was 16th in full PPR with 11 catches and two touchdowns. So that terrible touchdown luck there, but he still was 12th in non-PPR, 16th in full PPR in that stretch. All right, Dave, you have him 9th. Nick Chubb.
I have him 9th. It's absolutely in pencil. And the reason why I have him 9th is because I feel like he's safe there. Ahead of DeAndre Swift, who does catch a lot of passes, but I'm worried about him staying healthy. We could say the same thing about any running back that we talk about. It's a factor with Swift. It was last year. I haven't come around on him still, and it's been over a year. Javonte is currently behind him. We're a week plus into free agency, and Javonte is still the only man standing in Denver. If that keeps up, then he's easy to put ahead of Nick Chubb. Gibson, Montgomery, Jacobs, the Packers guys, Saquon, James Conner, they're all behind Nick Chubb for now. I like the fact that he's finished, like you said, Adam, top 12 in PPR points per game each of the last two seasons. I believe he was 8th in 2020, and it has a lot to do with touchdowns. And yes, they got Deshaun Watson, and I don't think that they're going to try and stay run pass equal with Deshaun Watson there. They're going to pass a little bit more, but I think his efficiency has room to grow with Deshaun Watson as his quarterback and Amari Cooper joining the passing game there. And I think about the November and the December games when it gets cold there and the wind is blowing off of the lake, and those are going to be Nick Chubb games. And I think Chubb will step up then. And if Deshaun is suspended to begin the 2021 season, those are going to be Nick Chubb games too, because they're going to not have Deshaun Watson on the field. So for now, it's just a sense that this guy has produced PPR, non-PPR. He's been fine. And a second round pick in a full PPR league, I don't have a problem with you taking Nick Chubb. By the time we get to August, I don't know if I'm going to take him where I have him ranked right now, which is 17th overall. Could be closer to 24th overall, but that's based on what other teams do at the running back position.
You know, I looked at the first five games of the year when both Hunt and Chubb were healthy, and it was pretty interesting. Kareem Hunt scored more touchdowns. I think, Heath, you just kind of mentioned this, but there was... I just want to get the numbers. Okay. So Chubb was fifth in non-PPR, Hunt was seventh. And Chubb was 12th in full PPR, Hunt was sixth. Per game, Chubb was 14th in full PPR. But this is only five games. But he was on pace. He still had so many carries. He was on pace for 306 carries. Kareem Hunt was on pace for 187 carries. But inside the five-yard line, I looked at goal-to-go situations inside the five-yard line in those first five games. Nick Chubb had 10 touches and Kareem Hunt had three. What are you laughing at?
Nothing.
Just a little too statty?
I wasn't paying attention to a word you just said.
Okay. Well, Nick Chubb had 10 touches inside the five-yard line in goal-to-go situations, and Kareem Hunt had three, is what I said, in the first five games of the season when they both played. Hunt was, you know, did a lot with those. Scored a touchdown, I think, on all three of those touches, at least two. I don't know. If the touches go down, it'll be a concern. Also, is this a concern for you? Does this matter? Deshaun Watson, three full seasons as a starter in Houston. The Houston running back scored 7, 8, and 7 rushing touchdowns. They combined, the full season, they combined for 7, 8, and 7. What is this?
Stop talking. You talk too much.
What is this? And Deshaun Watson.
Bye.
So that's 22. All right, I'm all thrown off. Three full seasons in Houston. The Texans running back scored 22 rushing touchdowns. Deshaun Watson scored 15. Does that matter?
I mean, it's part of what I said with Deshaun Watson running twice as often as the Browns quarterbacks, and I think did last year. I think Deshaun Watson probably, if over a full season, would project for more than twice as many rushing touchdowns as they had. So, yeah, if they're going to run for fewer touchdowns and Watson's going to have more touchdowns than the quarterbacks prior did, I would think that would negatively impact Chubb.
Heath, why did you have J.K. Dobbins ahead of Chubb?
I'm more optimistic about Dobbins catching passes than I am Chubb. But, I mean, part of the Ravens' change in offensive philosophy last year was throwing to their running backs more than they had in the two prior years with Lamar Jackson at quarterback. And that was when they were throwing to Devontae Freeman. They spent, I don't know if you remember, early in camp and in the offseason, we were getting highlight reels of J.K. Dobbins making one-handed catches. They were talking about how they wanted to get him involved in the passing game. I'm optimistic that he'll be more involved in the passing game than Chubb.
Do you have a number on that? How many targets per game Lamar was throwing to his running backs?
I've got a percentage in terms of the percentage of passes that Baltimore threw for their running backs. And it was, okay, I'm sorry.
Can I make a guess on what it was?
It was about 15%.
I was going to guess 17%, and I would have said that seems even high for Baltimore, and that's low. You want right around 20% when it comes to running back.
They were below 10% the two prior seasons.
Mm. Well, so it's a step up.
Yeah.
I don't know if that necessarily would equate to 50 catches for...
Oh, nowhere close, but 30 catches would give him an edge on Chubb.
Yeah, but why wouldn't you let Dave guess?
I don't know if I believe that.
That would have, you know, just not fun. Dave says, let me guess, and you just tell him. That's like see results. That's just not fun. All right, let's take a break here on Fantasy Football Today. When we come back, we'll talk Cordarrelle Patterson, the Bucs wide receivers, and DeAndre Hopkins after this on Fantasy Football Today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced. Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Cordarrelle Patterson is back with the Atlanta Falcons, and we don't know exactly what his eligibility will be, but last year he was a top, it's really so dependent on the format, but he was a top 12 running back in both formats, not per game, but full season, and he was 8th in non-PPR at wide receiver, but 19th in PPR at wide receiver, and he's just a very unusual player. Okay, let's see where we're at in the rankings with Cordarrelle Patterson. Dave has him 35th. Heath has him 24th. He's a starter for you right now, a low-end starter, Heath?
I don't want this to be true, but it is. And it's mostly because the Falcons just aren't doing anything. Like, they went and signed Damian Williams and brought back Cordarrelle Patterson. I think right now he is the most likely guy to lead the team in rush attempts. And probably the most likely guy to be second to Kyle Pitts in terms of targets. And the one thing he's been pretty consistently, if for a running back, is very efficient on his targets. That's because he's lining up out wide and playing receiver sometimes. So, yeah, he might only rush for 600 yards like he did last year. But if you catch 50 passes for 500 yards, it's pretty hard in PPR to not be a top 24 running back.
Not for Dave.
I hated his. Sorry.
No. Yeah, I was setting you up. Go ahead.
I hated the last 7 games of his season. He was money for the first chunk of the year, but his last 7 games, on not even 10 PPR points per game. He had one really good game in there, and then just flopped in the fantasy playoffs. I wonder if that was because he wasn't used to taking on as much work as he had, and he's a 30-year-old, and Arthur Smith definitely seems to be a zero RB truther at the helm of the Falcons offense. I still don't believe that they're done addressing the running back position. I don't know how you put Damian Williams, Cordarrelle Patterson, and I guess Mike Davis is still there. And you put all three of them back there and you say, okay, we'll just make do with those guys. Putting him in a position in my rankings where I would draft him as a top 70 player just doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel right. I would wait until the pick is meaningless for me to go and get Cordarrelle Patterson. And for me, that would be after round 8. Not saying that picks round 8 and beyond are meaningless, but there's less risk involved, less draft capital involved. If you miss with Cordarrelle Patterson, you're drafting him based on his one great year. It's not going to hurt you too bad. And you don't have to use him as a, you don't have to draft him as a starter for your fantasy team.
So again, Dave has him 35th, Heath has Patterson 24th. How would you rank Cordarrelle Patterson with Raheem Mostert and Chase Edmonds?
Edmonds, Patterson, Mostert.
I have that the same way, but Edmonds is 34th, Patterson's 35th, and Mostert's 37th. You can put all three of those guys in the zero RB bin.
I need to hear some of Dave's top 30 wide running backs, I think. I need to go to the rankings page and see who he has in the top 30.
Well, number one is Jonathan Taylor. Number two is Derrick Henry. No, I'm not going to. You want me to go through all 30?
No.
We can make this a two-hour podcast.
No.
AJ Dillon's in my top 30. Chris Carson is 30th.
One, I've got both of them in my top 30.
Okay. Where do you have Miles Sanders?
I think I looked at some of the different. I think Damian Harris is a difference. You have him 29th, Heath. Travis Etienne, you have him 31st. Dave has him 20. You have pretty similar top 30s, honestly. Just Patterson, like, and Edmonds.
Well, and Edmonds, too.
And Edmonds, yeah.
Where do you have Edmonds, Heath?
Like 25, 24, 25?
Keep going.
Yeah, I feel like I've seen enough of him to know that he's just not going to be. I wouldn't draft him to be anything more than a mild flex.
What I'm looking at,
or a zero RB to begin the year.
You have Edmonds 20.
It's fair to say with Patterson too.
You have Edmonds 23 and Patterson 24, from what I'm seeing.
There we go.
And Dave has Edmonds 34 and Patterson 35. Oh, okay. Don't forget. So Dave said, I don't know what happened in those last seven games. It's two things. The last three games were really bad, but I already talked about this. They ran 50 or fewer plays in those three games. They had the ball for 24 or fewer minutes, fewer than 24 minutes in those three games. And just like Jalen Hurts, high ankle sprain. Remember, he got hurt against Dallas. Then he missed a week. And I don't know what to make of it because the first two games back, he was actually good. But after that, he was terrible. And his receiving totals are really what dropped. Okay, it wasn't so much the rushing. That was part of it. But in the first eight games, he had 38 catches. In the last eight games, he had 14. And in the first eight games, the routes weren't that different. He ran 20 more routes in the first eight games than he did in the last eight games. 138 compared to 108, but just was not getting targeted. I think three targets per game after that ankle sprain. I don't know. You know, again, I don't know if that was it or if it's just the guy coming back down to earth, but that did happen. All right, let's go to the Tampa Bay wide receivers. Godwin and Evans. Dave likes Evans better. He has him 10th. Heath likes Godwin better. So right now, Dave, both of you guys like both of them quite a bit. Dave has Godwin 14th and Evans 10th. And Heath has Godwin 9th and Evans 17th. Dave, why are in full PPR, why do you like Mike Evans more than Chris Godwin?
The touchdowns from Tom Brady certainly stand out. I think that can help make up some of the catch differential between those two. And the fact that Evans is healthy compared to Godwin, and we're just not sure that Godwin will be cleared and ready to go for week one. I think he could be, but I almost think that the addition of Russ Gage is to help protect them in case Godwin is not ready to go week one.
This is the simplest one of all for me to explain. I don't project any wide receivers over a 7% touchdown rate because a 7% touchdown rate is pretty insane for receivers. And it's also Mike Evans' career rate, despite the fact he's scored on about 14% of his targets the past 2 years. I don't believe that he's going to continue to score the highest rate ever for a wide receiver. Over the past 2 years, 17 game pace, Godwin is about 20 more targets, 31 more catches, 200 more receiving yards. It's just been that Mike Evans has scored an insane amount of touchdowns.
Okay, I'm just going to tell you this then. If Chris Godwin is in training camp, ready to go, preseason, he's good, maybe he doesn't play, but whatever. Ready for week one, full PPR, I think he could be wide receiver. I think he will be wide receiver 6 for me.
I don't have any problem with that at all.
Yeah, what do you have, 9th? I don't see how.
Not I think I have him 9th, and I think maybe in the projections he's even higher than that, but I lowered him a couple spots because of concern about the first week or two.
He finished 7th in PPR points per game last year. So I'm sure that's got a lot to do with why you've ranked him where you've ranked him. And yeah, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, in the last 3 years, he's been 2nd, 15th, and I had him 6th in points per game. So 6th or 7th in PPR points per game. Yeah. For me, it's Wilkerson. I don't know if Christian Wilkerson is in your points per game, Dave, but that's what it was. I removed him. Okay. Yeah, so, and then in some, depending how far down you go, Cyril Grayson also shows up, and I always remove him in the points per game discussion. But okay, then I'll go to our last one here, DeAndre Hopkins.
I think you took Antonio Brown out of there, and that's why.
No, I didn't. No.
Then he should be 7th.
And whatever, 6th or 7th. DeAndre Hopkins, 16th for Dave, 24th for Heath. Dave, you and I think are Team Hopkins. You know, we can't sit here and say Rondale Moore is a winner without Christian Kirk and AJ Green, a free agent. Rondale Moore is a winner. DeAndre Hopkins is a winner too. Okay. And you've got him 16th, Dave. I am on Team Dave here as Heath has him 23rd or 4th. Go ahead on DeAndre Hopkins, Dave.
He's just like Mike Evans, should get plenty of touchdowns. I think Kyler Murray is also going to be on Team DeAndre Hopkins. And at the rate that free agency is going, Did the Cardinals do anything to impress you as far as replacing Kirk or replacing AJ Green? I know Rondale's going to get a role. They're going to add somebody else. It might be a rookie this year, but I think you're going to see Kyler veer back to leaning on Hopkins in the red zone like we saw two seasons ago and like we saw for chunks of the 2021 season before DeAndre Hopkins got hurt. And he just seems like the poster child for fantasy managers to look at and go, he's old and he's not what he used to be and he's coming off a year where he got hurt. And so his value is diminished a little bit. I think Arizona will throw the ball plenty. I think Hopkins is going to be on the other end of a lot of those targets. And I don't mind drafting him as a number two fantasy receiver, knowing that his upside is a top 12 fantasy receiver.
Yeah, he has that upside. I don't like the fact that they threw to him so little last year. He did not even have 90 yards in a game. It was just that he scored touchdowns. And we can say he's just like Mike Evans and that he's just going to get a bunch of touchdowns. But the year before, he had, what, 6 touchdowns on 160 targets. And Kyler Murray's been mostly bad in the red zone in his career. They didn't bring back Kirk or Green, but they did bring back Zach Ertz, who had a huge role in that offense last year. Now, Ertz and Hopkins didn't play very much together.
That's right. I'm
just not very convinced, especially with Hopkins himself coming off of a knee injury and going to be 30 at the start of the season. I'm not as convinced that he's the same guy.
You know, I do bring this up a lot, and I don't know how much I should, but it's a fairly new stat in the fantasy world, fairly new. But ADOT. And you look at the difference in the seasons that he just had. In 2020, his first year in Arizona, I think Heath just said it, he had 160 targets. He had 115 catches. He was a PPR stud, and he was number 4 in PPR. Last year, targets went way down. He only had 42 catches in 10 games. But his ADOT went way up. And he went from an 8.9 average depth of target, which is really low for Hopkins in 2020, to 12.3, which is the highest in at least 4 years. Pro Football Reference only has 4 years of data on that. And, it, you know, different profile leads to fewer catches when you're going downfield more. You know, so I don't know how much that matters to you, but it seems very easy for me to see him going back to a different type of role, catching more passes, getting more targets. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that will happen, but I see an easy path for him to recover and gain more of that PPR value.
I agree. He averaged 6.4 targets per game last year. That couples nicely with what Heath said about the target volume that he had. And the Cardinals, I think, tried to spread it around a little bit more with the other receivers that they had. And I think they revert back to leaning on Hopkins. I think Kyler reverts back to leaning on Hopkins because he worked for them. So I'm willing to buy into him for one more season as a number two fantasy receiver.
And I think maybe in the next 2 months, we'll get more of an indication of what they're going to do with Hopkins by who they add. But so far, they let go a couple of guys in Christian Kirk and AJ Green who did more stuff down the field and brought back a couple of guys in James Conner and Zach Ertz who do stuff close to the line of scrimmage. Maybe who the last, and we know Rondale Moore is probably going to be a closer to the line of scrimmage guy. Who is the deep threat if it's not DeAndre Hopkins?
I think Moore could be that guy. I think he could stress defenses. He's got speed, you know that. And I think that they could add somebody else that has speed. That might be a draft pick. I don't think there's anybody left in free agency that can fill that role for Arizona at this point.
Buffed up.
That's a problem for them. If they don't have somebody that can stretch defenses vertically, that'll make things harder. But Hopkins is a great route runner, man. He can get open with his footwork and with nuance and all that stuff. He's a 10 when it comes to that.
Okay, Buffed Up has a question in the chat on YouTube. By the way, if you're listening, you can always watch youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday. Is DeAndre Hopkins on a fall off like Julio Jones?
No, because he doesn't have the track record of injuries that Julio has. Yeah, not yet. It could very easily happen where he gets hurt in the first 4 weeks of the season, and then you can just point to him and say, all right, it's over, he's old, he's fallen off. But I'm not willing to go there yet. What happens if training camp comes around and he misses the first 2 weeks of training camp with something? Maybe he's still struggling with the knee. At that point, I think I'd be pretty nervous to take him with a 50 pick.
When you look at Julio had some serious injury concerns early in his career, but he missed 3 games from 2015 through 2019. And then he had the 9-game season, and then he had the 10-game season, and now I think we don't know, but there you should at least factor that risk in at his age that he had two pretty significant injuries last year, both leg injuries. And so, yeah, I think Dave's right. If he has a hamstring issue in camp, the siren should be going off.
For sure.
Yeah, he's at the age where you can't rule it out. You also can't rule out that Julio Jones is still really good. And DeAndre Hopkins too, right?
I mean, when he plays, yeah.
Yeah, you can't rule out Jones is still a great player.
I think Julio Jones will average more yards per target than Hopkins last year.
Probably did.
But Hopkins was actually really good. I mean, his yards per catch, his yards per target, both really good. Okay, let's read some emails. FantasyFootball@CBSi.com. This is from Jake in a city between Seattle and Tacoma.
I don't think Bellevue's on the way.
Puyallup.
Okay.
Puyallup.
Let's go with Renton. That's where the Seahawks train, I believe.
Okay. What up, Zach, Screech, and AC? Oh, that's Dave loves Saved by the Bell. He just
I couldn't leave the house this morning. E was running a Saved by the Bell, the college years marathon.
My wife put
it
on. Terrible.
My wife's a fan of it too.
Not the college years. They're awful.
I couldn't look away.
I can look away. You know, are you going to Chicago, Dave, this weekend?
I haven't decided yet.
Okay. That's where the Jayhawks and Hurricanes and Friars.
Are you going at them?
No, I'm not going. But the last time I went to Chicago, they had a restaurant that was set up. Yeah, they had the Max. It was limited, right?
It was a limited engagement where you could go and eat at the Max.
We were going to go, and I think the waits were well over an hour, so we did not go to the Max.
Well, good job. You didn't pay $25 for a lame cheeseburger just to say you sat at a booth that looked like what AC Slater sat in.
Yeah, exactly. 10-team.
Does Screech have a question here or what?
Yeah. 10-team PPR Superflex Dynasty League. Which Saved by the Bell theme restaurant do you recommend in Chicago? Also, we have 20 players on our rosters, and they need to be cut down to 14 by April 1st. We can still add or drop free agents and do trades, but we have to stay at a 14 roster size until the rookie free agent draft. So who should I cut between these three players? Just one of these three? Okay. Brandon Ayuk, LaVisca Chenault, or Raheem Mostert?
Oh, that's easy. I'm saying goodbye to LaVisca because I think the Jaguars are going to do the same.
Hasta la vista, baby, you have to say.
Yeah, I can't hold Raheem Mostert in a dynasty league over those young receivers.
What it was, he gave you his running backs too. Najee, Etienne, Edwards-Helaire, that's a good trio. His receivers are Debo, Diggs, A.J. Brown, Deontay Johnson. That's great. He's never going to start Chenault. You might be able to flip Mostert to a running back needy team if you're not that running back needy team. At the start of the year, I'm keeping Mostert over Chenault. I'm drafting Mostert ahead of Chenault in redraft. I know that Chenault's got potential long-term still, but I kind of feel like it's not going to happen.
I mean, I get that, and I'm not as excited about Chenault. I mean, this is the worst I've ever felt about him. But we're still talking about a 30-year-old running back
whose
career high is 137 carries.
I would keep Chenault just on the hope that Trevor Lawrence becomes awesome and Chenault becomes usable.
But prediction, you're going to cut both by the time that August rolls around.
Maybe, but I am a little concerned that actually Raheem Mostert has a better yards per carry than LaVisca Chenault. I thought that would be in favor of Chenault.
But doesn't Mostert have a better yards per carry than 70% of the league?
I thought a wide receiver maybe would have him beat.
Yeah, if you put the qualifier low enough, he might be like top five all time.
Yeah. All right, this is from Jack. Where's he from?
Pulley up Washington.
Hey, Greg, Wayne, Colin, and Ryan. Ooh, this is good.
Greg, Wayne, Colin, and Ryan.
You're going to go, oh, yeah. Not Heath, because Heath doesn't know anything, but whose line is it anyway?
Oh,
right.
I love that show.
It's a good one. All right. Actually, Heath, you would have liked that show.
I've watched it a few times. It wasn't my favorite, but it was fine.
You watched the Drew Carey version?
I told you my Wayne Brady story.
Wait, did Drew Carey host that? Yeah, he did.
Yes.
I used to watch it on Comedy Central with the British guy. I didn't even know his name.
Oh, yeah. That was great.
Yeah. Your Wayne Brady story? No.
Okay. Remind me sometimes.
Okay. 12-team, half PPR, one QB dynasty league. I have 2 second-place finishes in 4 seasons, and I am the Kirk Cousins of fantasy, great on paper with no rings. I have picks 1.2, 3.1, and 3.3. I expect 1.1 to be Breece Hall or different RB. I have just been offered picks 110, 111, and 112 for pick 102. Wow. Should I do that? Get picks 10, 11, and 12 in the first round for the second pick in the rookie draft? Or should I flip 102 for an elite tight end? He has Rodgers, Derrick Henry, J.K. Dobbins, Tyreek Hill, DeAndre Hopkins, Mike Williams, Mike Gesicki, and Javonte Williams, and a pretty decent bench, too.
I would be trying to, like, I think that 10, 11, 12, like, in the long-term value of things, might be the math choice that's correct in this year's draft. But, like, you finished second twice in this league, and you have a roster that has Aaron Rodgers, Derrick Henry, DeAndre Hopkins on it. Go win the league. Go get an elite tight end.
With 102.
Or go find, I mean, I think he had Burrow as well, so he doesn't need to find another, but I'd be trying to get rid of Derrick Henry and DeAndre Hopkins if you're going to trade down for draft picks.
His receivers don't seem so hot long-term. Tyreek, DeAndre Hopkins, Mike Williams, and Brandon Cooks. What does he have 3 years from now? He'll have Tyreek and Mike Williams if Williams is... I don't know what Mike Williams will be 3 years from now. I don't know what Cooks will be 3 years from now.
Yeah.
I'm kind of leaning toward the 10, 11, 12 to just take shots at two wide receivers, and there should be some decent ones left, and then a running back at 10, 11, 12.
That's a tough call. Okay, well, I hope that helped, Jack, from Polyup. What is it? Polyup?
Yeah. I said Polyup, but I could be wrong.
Whatever. Thanks for watching and listening, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow with winners and losers from the last few weeks, plus some buy or sell, which I'll crowdsource on Twitter, so I don't have to do any work. For Dave and Heath, I am Adam. Have a great day.
Okay.
See you later. Go Kings.
On May 23rd,
I want to go back to normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil, returns.
We've already hunted werewolves and demons.
And now what? A baby antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not gonna survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd, only on Paramount Plus.